their love today. So Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year. Amen. So today I wanted to share God's word on a message that I will call the significance of the birth of Christ. And you know, when we think of Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And many times we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but I purposely put it like we celebrate the birth of Christ. And that's very important for us to understand, because when we think of Christmas, you know, those are two words that say Christ and Mass. That means that it's a service that celebrates the Christ. But you see, our current world thinks of Christmas in different forms. There are those who think it's a public holiday, and that's a day where someone can sleep up to 11 a.m. And I don't know what time you woke up on Christmas Day. Maybe there was no service. Others, it's a time for holidays. You know, they spend the time in the beach, and they visit other countries, and they spend a lot of money, and in January they don't have school fees. And others, you know, think of it as it's a festival, and you go to the West, you go to the cities, you see all the businesses, all the business people say this is the best time to make profit. Mm-hmm. You plan to travel at this time, it is double, triple the fare, and anything that you want to do at this time is expensive. So some secret, if you want to buy your next year's Christmas clothes, buy them in April and pack them. It will still be the same. And others, it's just feasting, eating, drinking, reckless immorality. And there are many people who lose their lives over Christmas. I'm just reminded of a young man who decided to drink for the first time during Christmas, and he ended up with kidney failure. And well, others, it's a time to visit their families, their relatives, and maybe for some it's a time to attend church. And others, you know, they attend church once a year. Others, they try it twice a year, Easter and Christmas. And some, we call it renewing their annual subscription. And but few of us remember that it's a time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you see, the message that the angels say, that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And that word Christ is so important to the church, because Christ is Jesus and his church. It's that union of the Spirit, that union in the Spirit that unites us together with him. And so, what should Christmas mean to us, and what's the significance that Christmas should be to us? I want to put it to you that the birth of Christ is a revelation of God to man. Our God is spirit. And for you to understand spirit, you have to think of it like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. You can feel its effect. You can know it is there. It has immense power. It's like water. If you build your house by a riverbed in the dry season, you will not have a house when the waters come. So, our invisible God decided and wanted to be known to his creation. He made this, the Bible says, in the beginning he made the heavens, many heavens, and the earth, one earth. And this earth was a physical extension of his kingdom. He wanted to demonstrate to all those spiritual beings, heavenly beings, that there's also a physical component that he did. And he wanted this creation, man, to know him. So the birth of Christ is really God coming in the flesh. God coming as a man so that we who are physical beings can see him. And when Jesus walked on the earth, God walked on the earth. And they did not need, they could ask him directly, why was this man born blind? And Jesus said, this man, it was not this man that sinned, neither his parents that sinned, but it was such that the glory of God be revealed in his life. And God will reveal his glory in your life, especially when you come to encounter him and when you meet him. So when the message came by the angel in Matthew chapter 1, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I want you to pause a moment and ask yourself, what does this mean, that God with us? That means that you are not alone. That means that you are loved. That means that the owner, the creator of the whole universe, not only is with you, but beyond it, he lives in you. The Bible says the mystery is this, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is not just with you. The Bible tells us that, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That means that you are a carrier of the presence of God. God lives inside of you. And each and everywhere you go, he is with you. He is closer. He speaks to you. He speaks to your inner man. He speaks to your thoughts. He gives you ideas. He shows you when you are wrong. He convicts you of sin. And he shows you this is the good way. Walk in it. God wants to be revealed to us. And the birth of Christ was this revelation of God to man. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And continue to say, and out of the fullness of that grace, we have all received grace in place of grace. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Divinity, God, became a man. And why do you think he became a man? So that you can know him. And that because he loves you. You see, when you think of all the prophecies that were there in the Old Testament, they all were pointing to the Christ. Even from the moment that Adam sinned, the serpent was told, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. That means that from the moment even man sinned, God already put in a fulfillment, put in a prophecy that, you know what? This man has fallen. It's like if you were a creator and you had a project and your project fails, then you are a failure, right? But you see, God does not fail, and God cannot and will never fail. So the project of man could not fail. And that is why when the enemy thought that he had won, and many times the enemy thinks that he has won because he interrupts things. And that's what the devil thought. But you see, from that very moment, God said, there is a seed of a woman who is Jesus, who comes as the seed of a woman. and he comes to restore, to bring back the fallen man and to bring him back to God. So the birth of Christ is the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for man. What is redemption? Redemption is you are lost, now God brings you to be found. Redemption means that God comes and pays the price. Can you imagine that one day you are so poor that you go and offer yourself as a slave to work for someone? Or you're so poor that you sell all your inheritance, your family land, and everything that you have is gone. Maybe you lost it all, and you are there living as a slave, being harassed, and then someone just walks to that house and says, "Can I buy his freedom? I want to buy his freedom." The person says, "Okay, give me another slave. I cannot exchange him." He says, "Okay, take me as your slave." And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to take our place. The Bible says he has come to taste death for every man. That means that when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and because we all sin and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God says that, you know what? For me to redeem you, for me to buy you back, I need to come as a man. And you see, when he came as a man, he did not come with the sin of Adam. That's why he came through the woman. He was born of God. He came from above. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, came upon Mary, and she conceived. Scientists will tell you there is no exchange of blood. There's a placenta barrier. It's just nutrients. That tells you that he came, he did not have that seed of Abraham. Sorry, of Adam. The sin of Adam. And because he came, he lived a sinless life. And he said, you know what? Let me die for you. Let me die for your sins. Oh, you committed murder. I can pay for that. Oh, you committed abortion. I paid for that. Oh, you committed whatever sin that you can think of. I paid, and I can pay, and I have paid for it. Do you believe it? This is a message of redemption. The birth of Christ tells us that I came to pay for your sorrow. I came to pay for your pain. I came to pay for your sickness. I came to pay for your poverty. I came to pay for your peace of mind. That is redemption. And he walks into that cage, which is death. And the Bible says it was a wisdom of God, because if the rulers of this age had an idea, they will never have crucified the Lord of glory. They will be saying, if they had an idea. And that is why, never be worried about the devil. He is clueless. He only waits to hear what you say. When you say you're moving, then he says, oh, okay, let me now look for where they're moving. But you see, God's plan is eternal. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. His past, present, and future. When the Bible says he came to give us eternal life, eternal is not just forever life. It is even past, present, and future. That's the life God came to give us. So the clueless devil crucified the Lord of glory. Amen? And our Jesus walks into that grave. He goes to hell. The Bible says he descended. And then the devil and all his demons came to rejoice and to attack him. And the Bible says he just asked, where is the keys of hell and Hades? And the Bible says he made a public spectacle of them,
triumphing over them over the cross. That means that he defeated them and then he marched all over. And he told them, okay, now kneel, all of you kneel. You can imagine, if someone is making a public spectacle of you, that means he defeats you. And then he tells you, now walk, crawl on your knees. You know, when soldiers are going, they're told, frog march. Frog march. He frog marched them. And the Bible says he did not stay in the grave. Then he ascended. And when he ascended, he filled all things. And the Bible says God sat him at the highest place in the heavens and gave him a name that is above every other name. Amen. And not that just that Christ ascended alone. The Bible says, and he has raised us up and sat us up with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all thrones, all dominions. That means that your place as a believer is not even on the earth. Your place is far above. That means that when witchcraft tries to find you, it finds you far above. It tries to look for you. Have you ever tried to look at the sky? To look at the stars? They are far above. Now that's how far above you are. The cares of this world, the worries of this world, that is the payment that Christ paid for us. That was the fulfillment of the redemption that God had for us. And the third thing that I want to say is that if God's plan was just redemption and it ended there, then the moment you get saved, you should just die and go to heaven, right? True. Because why should you sin again? Why should you mess up what God has done? Yeah. But you see, God's plan, and from the onset, was always on the earth. His plan and his destiny for man has always been on the earth. And that is why there's a new heaven and a new earth. That tells you that God's plans and purposes for man, he says the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So your purpose is on this earth. Your blessing is on this earth and as well also in heaven. God says in his word that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal or everlasting life. And I've just explained it that it's not just future. It's the power of an endless life. Can you imagine that? Life without end. That you will never get to experience death. The Bible says the believers sleep. So when your time is done, and when you decide to go, because Paul says that, I desire, I wish to die, to be with the Lord, but I also wish to stay. Okay, what will I choose? For your sake, I will stay with you. Can you imagine what grace God gives you as a believer, that this endless life, you decide, okay, now, I think I've done enough. The power of life and death is in the tongue. That means you speak life to yourself. Yeah. When Corona came, there are those who said, oh, I will die. And they died. There are those who are on ICU and they'll remove the oxygen and say, doctor, help the other one. Me, I'm fine. And they said they will live, and they lived. Because the power is given to you. When he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. That means with the same authority that has been given to me for heaven and earth, go in the same authority. You are the one that is to bring redemption and restoration to this nation. God will not send angels to preach. God will not send angels to fight the battles of man. You know, I was just thinking about this and I was laughing. When there was war in heaven, the devil was not even fighting God. The Bible says the devil and his angels fought against Michael and his angels. Can you imagine? God was not even involved. He just watched. The archangels, they dealt with themselves. And he was cast out, right? And Jesus says, "Behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I give you power to trample over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be able to harm you." Why do we live in fear when every power, every authority has been given to us? So, the problem of man is to be solved by man. So you are the solution. You are the solution that God is counting on. In your sphere of influence, you are the solution. In your workplace, you are the one that brings the light to that. He says that he came as the light, but he says, but now you are the light of the world. So make your light shine. The birth of Christ brings us into the glory. God calls us, you will have glory in this life and in the life to come. So, can you imagine when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray? He says, pray like this: let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that your job is to claim what you see in heaven. What you see, the reflection of God in heaven, and claim it on the earth. That means that anything in your life that does not reflect the glory of God is a lie, and you must not accept it. God has called us into glory. He says, it pleased the Father to call many sons into glory. Your life is glorious. Glory speaks of beauty. Your life is beautiful. You know when he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that I may give you life, and life in abundance. Now I want you to pick two words there that I will conclude with. Life. That life there is, in Greek, is zoe. And that means the life of God, or the God kind of life. Let that sink. God came to give you the life of God. And then that word abundance there is a word that you can use the other adjectives that are there. Preeminence, remarkable. Another word there, in fact, let me just open it so that it was just blessing my heart that there are so many descriptions of that abundant life. John chapter 10 verse 10. And that word abundantly is perisos, and it says, which are the words that are there? Exceedingly abundantly, supreme, preeminence, superiority, advantage, more excellent. That's the kind of life that God called you to give. That's the kind of life that he's given. When it says you're preeminent, that means that you take the first place. You are not the bottom of the food chain. You are preeminent. When God says he gives you an excellent life, that means not only does he give you an excellent spirit, everything that you do is blessed. The blessed man, whatsoever he does, prospers. Whatsoever you put your hands to do will prosper if you believe him.
It says a life, abundant life, one that is advantageous.
That means you have an advantage. Have you gone to an interview and you're competing with people, and people, some are eating their nails, some are sweating, some came with $10,000 suits, but you sit there with your t-shirt and you know you have an advantage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The birth of Christ is that Christ came to call us into glory, not just for this life, but also for the life to come. And he has made us partakers of his glory. Amen. I will stop there. Welcome.